I'm Nancy Rosenbaum, and I'm on a farm outside of Hastings, Minnesota.
Check our rice here.
It's a rainy and miserable afternoon, but Chef Yuevang doesn't seem to mind.
Chef, our rice is ready to roll, brother.
For the last few hours, Vang has been cooking under a flimsy white tent. It's cold, but Vang seems perfectly comfortable in a t-shirt and flip-flops.
You know, we don't have much to complain about. Our parents had to cross the Mekong River to get here. A little rain never really hurt anybody.
Vang is Hmong, and together with his cousin Chris Herr, he runs a catering and pop-up business. It's called Union Kitchen, and it specializes in Hmong cuisine. On this day, they're at the Hmong American Farmers Association, preparing a dinner of sticky rice, roasted vegetables, and grilled meats.
Grab the chicken out, and we can lay the chicken on.
For his part, Vang has gotten a lot of positive press for being a culinary ambassador. Hmong food isn't so easy to explain or define, and he's helping to change that. But Vang also has critics, and some of them are right here on the farm. Vang chats with a pair of older Hmong farmers, a man and a woman. They're taking a break to warm their hands by the grill and check out the food. Vang and the farmers talk for a couple of minutes, and after they leave, he translates the conversation for me.
What did they say?
They were like, oh, this isn't done. The flame's not big enough. It's like, how is this ever going to be done on time?
Vang's cousin and business partner Chris chimes in.
Is there more food?
Is there more food? Is this it? And you know, like, I'm so used to it now.
So, like, if we were at a Hmong party, it would be, like, all of our aunts.
It would be all our aunts.
Telling us what to, like, how to cook it.
Yeah.
Vang grew up toggling between two very different cultures. He was born in a refugee camp in Thailand and moved to the United States when he was around 5. Vang's parents didn't speak English, and they held strong to Hmong traditions, including food. Vang says that Hmong men are the ones who traditionally grill meat. So when his dad passed him a pair of grilling tongs when he was 12, it was a big deal.
To be given the tong to grill or flip the meat was like this huge kind of rite of passage. And my dad, like, I think he had to run in and go grab something, and he handed me the tongs, and I was just like, what? And literally, I was just like, okay, like, don't mess it up.
Vang's father eventually taught him how to butcher a pig. Later, Vang picked up skills working in restaurants all around the Twin Cities, including places like Spoon and Stable, which was nominated for a James Beard Award a couple of years ago.
Like, you're learning something new, and you're like, oh, wow, we can implement this to help our culture. And it's like, well, that's not the way we used to do it. And sometimes that kind of hurts, because it's like, you're a 30-year-old man still always sitting at the kids' table on Thanksgiving. And you're like, we have a generation who died off. There's space there. Can we sit at the adult table? Well, no. Not yet. Not until you contribute something.
It's now early evening, and a cool dusk has settled over the farm. A shiny layer of sweat coats Vang's forehead as he sautés a pan of vegetables.
What do you have here?
We have a fire-roasted beets, carrots, and onions. So it's all root vegetables.
So even though many of the farmers he's serving tonight grow the same kinds of beets he's preparing, Vang says that Hmong people usually don't eat them.
We get a lot of our own people will criticize and say, well, that's not Hmong food. Like, why would you use beets? Hmong people don't use beets. And I would challenge them, and I said, you know, When our parents and our grandparents lived in Laos and Thailand, they used what was around them because it was about survival. And us being here in the northern Midwest, wouldn't we do the same thing?
Finally, it's time to eat.
Okay. So Vang, stop serving up. This is Hmong style, so.
Yeah.
Vang watches as people load up their plates.
It's fun to watch the reaction in the face, like, especially with the older generation, especially like that roasted vegetable dish. It's just like, okay. Like, so you're like, will they like it or not?
Before long, most of the food is gone, even the root vegetables. Some of the farmers return to the dark fields wearing bright headlamps. Vang stays behind to chat with a friend about his signature hot sauce.
Tigo, do you know what we call our hot sauce?
What do you guys call it?
We've labeled it a tiger bite sauce.
What? Dude, that's a bomb name.
It turns out that tiger bite has a particular meaning for Hmong people.
The literal translation of tiger bite is like the worst curse you can give somebody. It's like a bad word. Like, you never say it. I can't even to this day say it in Hmong. And I still don't have the heart to tell my parents that it's called tiger bite sauce. I'm just like, oh yeah, it's just our pepper sauce. So weird. But a lot of our like non-Hmong speaking people are like, oh, I get it because it has a bite, right? We're like, yeah, because it's got a bite.
Meng wants to bottle and sell his Tiger Bite sauce. He also wants to open a brick-and-mortar restaurant. Just like his nomadic Hmong ancestors, he's looking for a permanent place he can call home, a place where he can cook his version of Hmong food without apology. For KFAI, I'm Nancy Rosenbaum.